Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been said that if you don't learn from the past, you are doomed to repeat it. And that's true. More true than many want to recognize or care to admit. Folks today seem to be at work to forget the past, to erase the past as a way to make a new beginning. And while a new beginning sounds good, apart from Christ, it ends up at the same place. Tearing down statues as a means to forget, erase, or even rewrite history serves only to repeat the same mistakes. The face of the master may change, but the prejudice remains. God today offers a different solution. He calls us to remember who you were apart from Christ and who you have become in Christ. He calls us to remember the impact that new beginning has on the relationships you have with your neighbors, with all those folks who don't happen to look like you. Paul writes, "Therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." In the past, there were lines drawn between Jews and Gentiles, circumcised and uncircumcised, citizens and foreigners, those who had the promises and those living without hope. Lines drawn between the privileged few and the unwashed masses. The Gentiles were on the outside looking in. And then God stepped in. Literally. Paul writes, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." God stepped into his creation through the person, Jesus Christ. God stepped into his creation to do all that had to be done to remove the barrier of sin that stood between God and man, to remove the consequences of sin that came as a result of Adam's sin, so that he could restore his creation to himself, to bring all who are far away near to him through the blood of Christ, through the forgiveness of sin. And that began with Jesus' life, with his perfect obedience to his Father and to his law. Jesus did what Adam could not. In spite of temptations endured, Jesus remained perfect. He fulfilled God's law and its demand for perfection. He then took our sinful human nature upon himself so that he could take it to the cross and die the death Adam and we deserve. Through his death, the price was paid that satisfied sin and its demands. Through his death, the price was paid that God's law demands. By the shedding of his blood, by his sacrificial death, Adam's curse was lifted from us, and the door was opened to us to be restored to God and the relationship Adam enjoyed with God before he sinned. For those Gentiles in Ephesus and for us, we were all brought near by the power of God's word at work through the gospel to call us to faith and to enlighten us with his gifts. As Paul writes in Romans, all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death. We have died with him. We have been buried with him. And if we have been united with Jesus in a death like his, we are also united together with him in a resurrection like his. We have been brought near. We have been united together with Christ in the most intimate of ways. Not only has Christ, by his saving work, destroyed the barrier, torn down the dividing wall that stood between us and God, he has also torn down the hostility that sin puts between us and our neighbor. He has done that by the forgiveness of sin. Jesus is at work to bring together all tribes and nations under one head, under him and in unity with him. Paul writes, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. When Paul writes here, Christ came to create in himself one man out of the two, keep in mind that when Paul writes this, he wasn't talking about two distinct people groups at the exclusion of others, as if there are other groups that don't fall into the category of Gentile or Jew to whom Christ's work doesn't apply. For the Jew, Gentiles were everybody else. If you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. Conversely, for the Greeks in Paul's audience, if you weren't a Greek, you were a barbarian. Everybody not a Greek was a barbarian. Lines drawn in the sand. Paul is not talking about ethnic groups. He's really talking about the entire world. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God desires that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's only in Christ and through the forgiveness of sin that comes to us through his blood that those walls of hostility can be taken down and destroyed. To work for justice and peace, while a good thing, but to work for that apart from Christ won't bring the unity desired. Instead, one prejudice will get replaced by another. The oppressed will become the oppressor. Lines will continue to be drawn, separations made. So we, who have been united together in Christ, need to be part of those conversations. We need to be involved with our neighbors in conversations about justice and inclusion and diversity and whatever else comes down the road. We need to be involved in those conversations for the opportunities that will come to speak the truth in love. We need to share the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ and the resurrection that he shares with us. We need to talk about the unity that comes to us in Christ through the forgiveness of sin. We need to talk about how that unity is maintained through the forgiveness of sins. We also need to shed light on the work of the devil, because he is right in the middle of all those conversations spreading his lies. Over the last couple years, I have heard a lot said, and I myself have said some of that, about conspiracy theories, both by those looking for answers to why things are the way they are and those making fun of those who were thinking about conspiracy theories as an answer to all the stuff that's gone on over the last 2 years. In response to that, I can tell you that there is indeed one great conspirator behind all that we have dealt with in the last couple of years, and really behind all that the generation since Adam and Eve have had to deal with, and that's the devil. But I would be careful about with whom you share that information. Within the circle of faith, you will probably find listening ears. But even in the circle of faith, not all will listen. Outside the circle of faith, probably more often than not, you will be dismissed as a fool. But one way to talk about the devil's work without mentioning his name is to talk about the separations and divisions that have been created in the name of justice and unity. To talk about how lines continue to be drawn to separate one group from another. Again, the oppressed become the oppressors in the name of justice. Any work, no matter how good it looks to the world, any work that promotes separation and division is the work of the devil. God is a God of community. God is a God who gathers together, who does not separate, who tears down those walls of separation so that we have free access to Him. That's the work of God. Anything that promotes separation or division is the work of the devil. And if we're able to have those kinds of conversations, then we will have the opportunity to share the true and only solution to that separation and division. And that solution is indeed Jesus Christ. And the unity and peace that comes to us through the forgiveness of sins. That's the only weapon that we have that can tear down those walls of hostility. Those walls that sin builds, that the devil promotes. Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring together all who have been separated by sin. We need to speak that truth, the truth Paul writes about here in Ephesians. There is no distinction between circumcised and uncircumcised, between Jew and Greek, between black and white and any other skin color you want to throw in there. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All are in need of deliverance from sin and its corruption. All are drowning and need to be pulled into the lifeboat who is Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that that includes all of us here today. We need to understand that the only difference between us and those outside the faith, those not in the boat, is that we're in the boat. Charged with the task of being Jesus' hands and feet as we reach out with Him to pull those still in the water into the boat. There is no distinction where God's grace is concerned either. Black, white, yellow, brown, peace lover, terrorist, doesn't make any difference. God desires that all be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so, now, as children of God, who have been called into this hope, who have been raised to new life, it is now our privilege, as Jesus' hands and feet, to share the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. So that by that sharing, Jesus Himself will be at work to bring near all who are far off, and bring us together under one head in one body, at peace with God and one another through the forgiveness of sins that is God's gift to a broken world. May God indeed so work through His Word to gather us all into that unity that cannot be destroyed by any power in creation. For Jesus' sake, and in His name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen.